Welcome back, Deep Divers. We're diving headfirst into some really cool science today.
Fresh off the lab bench, even.
Yeah, like so new. The ink's barely dry. I mean, we're talking about a research notebook entry from Arianna S. Huffmeyer over at the University of Washington.
And it's dated just yesterday, March 18th, 2025.
So we're getting like a sneak peek into actual real-time science in action.
Absolutely, yeah. This is as close as it gets to being right there in the lab with them. And, you know, it's not some polished paper, no conclusions yet. We're seeing the process, the questions, the day-to-day of research. And what she's looking at, what Arianna's focused on, are these tiny little oysters.
Those are like baby oysters, right?
Exactly, yeah. The little guy's just starting out. And she's trying to figure out how they use energy, how their metabolism works, especially when the temperature changes. And that's our mission today, to crack open this notebook and figure out what it tells us about how oyster seed handle heat.
Okay, so the notebook, it's all about what are called Rhesus urine trials. Now, I know some of our deep divers are probably already familiar with this, but for those who aren't, it's basically a way scientists measure like how much energy something is using, its metabolic activity.
Oh.
And they use this special dye that changes color based on how active the cells are.
Right, so you can see how much energy they're burning.
Exactly. And in this experiment, Arianna is looking at two groups of oyster seed. Some were treated with this compound called polyike, sort of a thing they're testing to see if it's beneficial. And the other group is just plain oyster seed, the control group.
And the really cool part is they're putting these two groups, the treated and untreated oysters, under different temperature stress. So one set hangs out at a comfy 20 degrees C, like normal room temp. But the other group, they get cranked up to a toasty 42 degrees C in an incubator.
Wow, that's quite the jump. And this isn't even the first round, right? Like, they're building on stuff they've already learned.
Exactly. It's part of a bigger investigation. And to track everything that's going on, they've got some serious tech in play. They're using a plate reader for the rhesus urine part. That's the machine that measures the color changes in the dye and tells them about the metabolism.
So like high-tech color watching.
Pretty much. But it's incredibly precise. And they even have temperature loggers right there with the oysters, making sure the temperature stays exactly where they want it.
Talk about attention to detail.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the notebook, it even has a map of where each group of oysters is sitting on the testing plate. It shows the different treatment groups, which tank they came from, whether they got the polyike, and it even shows where they put blanks.
Blanks?
Yeah, those are wells on the plate that don't have any oysters in them. It's all about getting a baseline reading so they can account for any background signal from the dye itself.
Ah, so it's like subtracting the noise to get the real data.
Exactly. And this way, they know for sure that any changes they see are because of the oysters and what they're doing, not just because of the dye or something weird with the plate. And get this, they took photos of all the tiny little oysters and used this software called ImageJ to measure their size.
Really? Why so much measuring?
Well, because bigger oysters, they naturally use more energy, just like a bigger car needs more gas. So they have to account for size differences when they analyze the data. It's all about making sure they're comparing apples to apples.
Right. It's not as simple as just dunking oysters in hot water and seeing what happens.
Nope. There's a lot of thought and precision behind it. And they didn't just measure once either. They track the energy use, the metabolic activity using the rhesus urine dye every hour for 4 hours. They wanted to see how things changed over time. Mm-hmm. And then after that 4 hour stint in their different temperatures, they checked how many oysters in each group had survived.
So they're looking at both the immediate energy response and whether the temperatures are straight up lethal.
Exactly. Now, all of this data, the readings from the plate reader, the sizes of the oysters, everything the notebook says, it all goes onto a website called GitHub. And they even put the computer code they use to analyze the data up there, too. It's this really cool movement in science called open science, where researchers share everything.
I love that. It makes it so much easier for others to check the work or even build on it, right?
Absolutely. It's all about transparency and collaboration. So back to the experiment. They've got all this data, all these numbers and sizes. What did they actually find? Well, the notebook makes it clear that the temperature had a huge impact on how much energy the oysters were using. But here's where things get interesting. At that super high temperature of 42 degrees C, the data actually show that the oysters were using less energy compared to the ones chilling out at 20 degrees C.
Wait, so they're using less energy when it's hotter? That doesn't seem right. You'd think they'd need more energy to cope with the heat.
It's a natural thought, right? But think of it like this. For most living things, as the temperature rises, their metabolism speeds up. They need more energy to function. But if it gets too hot, beyond a certain point, their metabolism starts to slow down, almost like they're hitting a wall.
Oh, I see. It's like their bodies are saying, whoa, too hot, gotta conserve energy.
Exactly. And that slowdown, that's what's called metabolic depression. It's a way for organisms to protect themselves from extreme conditions. But if it goes on for too long, it can be a problem.
Right, like you can't just stay in power-saving mode forever.
Exactly. And the notebook mentions that in earlier experiments, they saw the oyster's metabolism speed up at 36 degrees C, but then start to slow down at 40 degrees C. So this 42 degrees C result is continuing that trend, showing that they're hitting that metabolic wall.
So they're mapping out how these oysters react across a whole range of temperatures.
Precisely. And there's another really important finding here. That difference in energy use between the oysters at 20 degrees C and those at 42 degrees C, that difference was way more noticeable in the oysters that got the polyice treatment. It means the polyice is somehow involved in how they respond to heat.
So the treatment is changing how they handle the heat.
Exactly. It's not just the temperature itself, it's how the treatment interacts with the temperature. And it's not a simple effect either. The notebook says that at 36 degrees C, the treated oysters actually had a higher metabolic rate than the untreated ones, but then at 40 degrees C, it flips, and their rate is lower. It's like the polyice has different effects depending on the temperature.
So it's not just polyice is good or polyice is bad. It's more nuanced than that.
Yeah, it's all about the context, the specific environment. And it looks like the polyice treatment didn't have the same impact at every temperature they tested. The notebook says the metabolic rates between the treated and untreated oysters were significantly different at 36 degrees C and 40 degrees C, but at the normal 20 degrees C and the extreme 42 degrees C, the difference wasn't statistically significant. So the polyice seems to have the biggest effect in that middle zone between 36 degrees C and 40 degrees C.
Interesting. So there's still a lot to learn about how this polyice stuff works.
Absolutely. But the notebook gives us a glimpse of what's coming next. It mentions another experiment planned for Tuesday, looking at the control temperature of 20 degrees C again, but also at 38 degrees C. They're trying to get an even clearer picture of what happens in that middle temperature range where the polyice seems to have the biggest effect.
So for our listeners who love getting up to speed on the latest science, these experiments are giving us valuable clues about how oysters might cope as ocean temperatures continue to rise. I mean, oysters are super important for healthy ecosystems and for the seafood industry, so understanding how they react to heat is a big deal.
Totally. I mean, this is real-world stuff. These experiments can inform how we manage and protect oysters, both in the wild and in aquaculture. If we know their limits and what might help them deal with heat stress, we can make smarter decisions about conservation and farming.
So to sum up our deep dive today, at that really high temperature, 32 degrees C, the oyster seeds seem to slow down their energy use, almost like hitting a pause button. And that polyice treatment, well, it seems to change how they handle the heat, but the effect depends on the specific temperature.
It's like a puzzle, right? Each experiment gives us a few more pieces.
Exactly. But it also raises more questions, like these experiments look at short-term responses, those immediate metabolic changes. But what about the long-term consequences? If those high temperatures become more common, could it affect the oyster's ability to survive, to grow, to reproduce?
That's the big question, isn't it? And that's the beauty of science. Every answer leads to more questions. It's a constant exploration, a process of discovery. And this glimpse into Ariana's notebook, it shows us science in action, the messy, exciting, and ultimately essential work of trying to understand our world.
So keep those questions coming, deep divers, and we'll keep diving into the science that matters. Until next time.
Dive deep.